Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Thank you, Pastor Scott and worship team. And I want to thank Pastor Adam for stepping in very capably last week. And church, I want you to know that I'm excited to be back with you this week. We were on vacation. My niece graduated from high school last week, and so we had the chance of going up to Virginia. Let me just say something. It's cooler up there, in case you wanted to know. If you'll take your Bibles with me this morning and join me once again in the book of 1 John, we only have two Sundays left to finish this wonderful book that we've been walking through, the series entitled Walking in the Light. And this morning, I want to talk about something that I believe will, I hope, encourage you and also challenge you as you consider what it means to walk in victory as a follower of Jesus. See, here's the thing that I know and that you know. The Christian life is not easy. Can I get an amen? It's not easy. In fact, if you're like me, you walk through difficult seasons in your life, spiritually speaking. In fact, you may be in one of those right now. You may have come in this morning, and the truth for you is that you really feel like, in a real sense, in regards to your spiritual walk, that you just feel defeated. Maybe sin that's present in your life, something that you just can't push through, something that you haven't been delivered from. There may be issues going on in your family. There may be issues going on with marriage. But across the board, you just feel in this moment as if you are absolutely defeated. I think all of us have felt that at some point in our life as believers. And here's usually the way that someone responds. Well, you know, brother, if you'll just have a little more faith. How many of you have heard that? How many of you wanted to slap someone when you did hear that? In the name of Jesus, right? Here's what we're going to see this morning in the text. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, what it means to truly walk in victory in the Christian life. I want to read the text for us, verses 1 through 12 of 1 John chapter 5, and then we are going to unpack that this morning. John writes, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that He has borne concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Father, in these moments ahead, would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us eyes to see? Would you give us hearts that are ready to respond to your word? We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want you to notice in the first few verses, verses 1 through 3, John does something that a lot of preachers do. We like to repeat ourselves. You ever notice that? We always say it's for effect, right? We want you to get it. And if you're a parent, you understand that. You sometimes need to repeat yourself for your kids to finally begin to grasp and understand what you're talking about. And here, John is going to repeat in verses 1 through 3 what he's laid out in the first four chapters of his letter. He says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world, everyone who believes that has been born of God. One of the things that we talk about as followers of Jesus is the fact that we've been born again. If you reverse yourselves a little bit in the scriptures, you'll see in John chapter 3, John, also the author here of 1 John, John described a scene where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says to Nicodemus, if you want to inherit eternal life, you have to be born again. And here John says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, who places their faith and trust in him for salvation, that person has been born of God. You may be here this morning and you're just kind of checking things out here at North River. You're not really sure where you are in terms of your spiritual walk. You're not really sure what you believe about Jesus. And we're going to cover some of that this morning. But if I could just put the cookies on the bottom shelf for you this morning and say to you, this is the crux of the entire situation that we're going to be talking about. The question of whether or not we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. Because if we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, it means that we've been born again. It means that God has changed our hearts, that he's removed this heart of stone and replaced it with a heart of flesh. We've been transformed by Jesus. If we call ourselves Christians this morning, that is true of us. And if you're wondering what that looks like, I'd love to share with you what it means to place your faith and trust in Jesus. But here, John is assuming that those who are reading this have done that. And he says to them, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And then he follows up and says, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. We said several weeks ago that one of the marks of following Jesus is the fact that we will love other people. Not only will we love God, but we will also love others. Again, John here summarizing for us what he's laid out for us in detail previously in this letter. He says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And listen to this, his commandments are not burdensome. See, one of the things that we realize and we understand is when we are following after Jesus, that we're going to love God and we're going to love others, and then we're going to spend our entire lives seeking to live for God in everything that we do. And here, John summarizes that in obeying God's commandments. We said before that you can break God's commandments down very simply into loving him and loving others. If you want to boil the Christian life down, it is love God and love others. And interestingly, John here says that that is not burdensome. But doesn't it feel that way sometimes? I mean, isn't it difficult sometimes to love God with every aspect of our being? Isn't it difficult for us at times to love other people? Or is that just me in the Walmart checkout line? Right? I mean, it's tough. So how do we do that? How do we walk in victory? How do we press on in the Christian life? How do we do what God has called us to do when we face difficulties, when we face struggles, when there's moments where we don't feel like we're really moving forward in the Christian life? We get the answer beginning in verse 4. I want you to notice what John says here. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our what? Faith. Now, this is where well-meaning people will look and to say, the issue, if we're walking in difficulty, if we're struggling, if we don't feel like we're walking in victory in the Christian life, people will say, you just need more faith, right? Because faith here is what has overcome the world. But here's where we have to understand what faith is. John's going to tell us in verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes or has faith that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, I want you to notice something. If we're not careful, we'll talk about believing, having faith in faith. It's not what John says. Our issues oftentimes in the Christian life is we lose sight of whom our faith is in. We don't have faith in ourselves. Some of you are like, that's really good, right? We don't have faith in our good works. We don't have faith in anyone except Jesus Christ. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this main idea. If you walk away this morning with nothing else, I want you to walk away with this truth. And here it is. Walking in victory in the Christian life is tied not to the strength of our faith, but to the object of our faith, who is Jesus. Walking in victory in the Christian life is not tied to the strength of our faith. That's why when you're walking in difficulty, when you feel like you're not walking in victory in the Christian life, and someone says to you, just have a little more faith, it's an empty comment. Because the issue is not our faith. The issue is who our faith is in. Let me try to explain this to you in a way that maybe you would understand. When you walked in this morning, and you walked to the chair that you are now sitting in, how many of you believed that when you sat in the chair, that the chair would hold you up? Every hand ought to go up, or you're just a daredevil, one of the two, right? Now, why did you believe that the chair would hold you up? It wasn't because your belief was strong. It wasn't because you believed that you believed in the chair. The truth is, you believed that the chair in and of itself had the strength to hold you up when you sat down in it. If there's no object of our faith is in vain. If you stand on top of a skyscraper and you say, I believe I can fly. Somebody's thinking, I believe I can touch the sky, right? It always gets interesting when you come back from vacation. You feel kind of spunky. And there's no clock anymore on the back wall because it's covered up with stars. So, amen. But you stand and you say, I believe I can fly. Here's the problem. You can't fly. The issue is not in your belief. It's not in the strength of your belief. You can believe very strongly that you can fly. The problem is you cannot fly. And here's what John wants those who are reading this to understand. Our victory in the Christian life is based not on the strength of our faith. It's based in the fact of who Jesus is, what he's done, and what that means for us. And here's what John's going to answer for us in the next verses, beginning in verse 5. Question this morning, who is Jesus? If that's who our faith is in, and if it's not the strength of our faith, but it's the object that we place our faith in Jesus, who is Jesus? Don't forget that John is writing to a group of people who had naysayers among them, false teachers among them, that were attempting to say that Jesus wasn't really the Son of God. In fact, there were a couple of different things that they were trying to peddle out, but they centered around the fact that Jesus was a man, possibly, that he wasn't really God, or if he was God, he was only God between the time of his baptism and then right before he died, and so he was man up until baptism. When he had the baptism, then the Spirit of God came down, and that he became God in the flesh then, and that continued on through his ministry up until his death on the cross. Prior to that, then he would no longer have been the Son of God. He would have just been a man. But here John says for us, that is not at all who Jesus is. In fact, Jesus is the very Son of God who was sent from heaven to earth. He is God with skin on, both fully God and fully man. That's who Jesus is. If you go back in 1 John, beginning in chapter 1, John says that he saw Jesus, not only prior to his death on the cross, but also after his death on the cross. And John, as an eyewitness, says that Jesus is the Son of God. Here's the thing that has to be true for us. If we're going to walk in victory, we need to nail down who Jesus is. You see, because who Jesus is changes everything. If Jesus is fully man, but he's not God, he can't atone for our sins. If he's fully God, but he's not man, then the scriptures lie. But the Bible tells us, John here tells us, that Jesus Christ is God with skin on. Both God and man. That's what he tells us. That's who Jesus is. I want you to notice in verse 6, he answered in verse 5 who Jesus is, but he's going to begin in verse 6 and walking through the next couple of verses telling us what Jesus has done. He says in verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And some of you are scratching your head going, no, I don't get that. And then he's going to throw another one in the mix. The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, is the one who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. Now, verse 7, there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. What in the world is John talking about? Why does he bring up water, blood, spirit? What's the point? What is he trying to emphasize? Well, he's trying to tell us what Jesus has done. He's trying to give us a greater picture, not only of who Jesus is. We know that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He's the Savior who has come into this world. But John also tells us, not only that, but Jesus is also the one who, by his life and by his death, makes it possible for us to have eternal life. And that's what he's getting at here when he's talking about the water and the blood. Remember what I told you earlier, that the naysayers, the false teachers, were saying that Jesus wasn't really the Son of God. Maybe he was a man, but he wasn't really the Son of God. Or if he was the Son of God, it was only between a brief period of time, between baptism and right before he died on the cross. And we've already seen the issues with that. And what John wants us to understand is that not only by water, which is by the baptism, but also by blood. That's Jesus' shed blood on the cross. And then three, by the Spirit, who testifies to the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. All three of those agree not only in who Jesus is, but the fact that Jesus came and he laid his life down so that we may be forgiven of our sins. John wants us to understand that our victory is tied to who Jesus is and what he has done. You see, here's the thing that we need to reconcile in our minds. Who Jesus is and what he's done. See, if we nail down who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God who has come into the world. If we nail down the truth for us as believers, not only that Jesus is who he says he is, but also the fact that he came into the world and that he lived a sinless life and that he went to the cross for you and for me and that he laid his life down for us and he shed his blood, and it's only through the shed blood that there's forgiveness of sins. But not only that, that he raised again on the third day and that he ascended to the Father. That's what John wants us to understand. Not only is that verified through eyewitness testimony, but it's also verified through the Spirit of God who inspired people to write what we have here as his word. What John wants us to understand is that Jesus is the Son of God who has come into the world and laid his life down to save us from our sins. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for us that Jesus came into the world? What does it mean for us that he laid down his life? What does it mean for us that he can forgive us of our sins? John continues on and says in verse 10, "Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." John says we have to answer who Jesus is. We have to answer what Jesus has done. But here's where the crux of the matter rests. What does that mean for you? What does it mean for you that Jesus is the Son of God? What does it mean for you that Jesus came into the world and that he died for your sins and for my sins? What does that mean for us? If we place our faith and trust in him for salvation, John says, we receive eternal life. I want you to think about that for just a minute. We should receive, the Bible tells us, not eternal life, but eternal death, separated from God for all eternity because of our sin. But because of who Jesus is and what he's done, he makes it possible for us to have not what we deserve, but to have eternal life, which we don't deserve. And here what we see is that walking in victory in the Christian life is not trying to do better. It's not trying to have more faith. Walking in victory in the Christian life is tied to the victory that Christ has already secured for us. You see, we spend our entire lives trying to do what Jesus says he's already done. We know there's no way for us to earn our salvation. And yet, isn't it often the time when we experience the most discouragement in the Christian life? If we really boil it down, we are trying to earn our salvation. We're trying to do better, trying to do more. We're trying to have a quiet time. We're trying not to yell at our kids. We're trying to do the best job we can at work. We're trying harder and harder. Listen, we are built on a society that says, try harder, do better, do more. And that is antithetical to the gospel. The gospel says, you can't try better. You can't do more. You can't do this on your own. In fact, it says that God knows that, and so he sent Jesus to do it for us. And here's the thing that we have to understand. If we're going to walk in victory in the Christian life, our victory is tied to our faith. Our faith is in Jesus. The reason we can walk in victory is the reason because Jesus is walking in victory. When we experience discouragement, when we experience frustrations in the Christian life, is the exact moment when we need to get our eyes off of ourselves and get our eyes on Jesus. You see, we spend so much of our time as believers with our eyes on ourselves. And that's the reason oftentimes that we're not walking in victory, that we're not experiencing the victory that God intends for us to experience in the Christian life. And we think, gosh, I just got to do more. If I go to church more, if I read my Bible more, if I pray more, if I stop yelling at my kids, if I stop hitting my wife, whoa. Listen, here's what we have to understand. Those things are good things when they come in the right place. Because here's the thing. If our eyes are focused on Jesus and who he is and what he's done, here's the interesting thing. It ends up transforming our lives. When we give up the fact of trying to do better, when we give up the fact, even as believers, of trying to do more for God, and we rest in the truth of who we are in Christ, it will transform our spiritual lives. See, what we need to do as believers is spend a whole lot less time focusing on us and a whole lot more time focusing on Jesus and what he's done for us. You want to know what it means to walk in victory? It means walking with Jesus. Jesus has accomplished the victory for us that we could never accomplish in and of ourselves. When we're dealing with sin in our life and it's bringing discouragement for us as believers, what we've got to recognize is that we can try harder, but it's never going to work. What we've got to recognize is that Jesus has defeated sin for us. Our victory is not in what we've done. Our victory is in what Jesus has already done. When we're walking in discouragement, we've got to realize that discouragement comes not because of anything other than losing sight of who we are in Christ. Listen, your worth is not tied to what you do as a believer. Your worth is tied to who Jesus is. And when God looks at you, if you've trusted in Jesus for salvation, I've said this over and over again, just like a preacher, right? I want you to get it. You got to realize that when God looks at you, he doesn't look at you and think, gosh, you could be so much better. You could do so much better. You could be more. Why do you not want more? When he looks at you, if you've trusted in Jesus for salvation, he looks at you and he sees his son. Because Christ's righteousness covers us. We sang about it earlier that we are adopted sons and daughters of God. That's who we are. And we are that not because of anything that we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. So here's what John wants us to get. Here's what he wants us to understand. Here's what he wants us to grasp a hold of. A victorious Christian life is a life that is so tethered to who Jesus is and what he's done that we've never gotten over how much grace we've received, how much love we've experienced. See, here's the problem sometimes for us in our Christian life. We are saved, and for whatever reason, the wonder and the awe and the magnificence of the truth of that no longer captures our heart like it once did. And here's the thing that we as believers need to get: how amazing God's grace really is. How transformative his love for us really is. How he has adopted us as sons and daughters. Listen, you can put everything else aside and focus on that for your entire life. And like a diamond, as you turn it in the light and you catch just a different picture and a different glimmer of that diamond, is the same thing when we look at the gospel of Jesus and what Christ has done for us. Listen, when we peer into it and we look at it and we long to understand more of who God is and what he's done for us in Christ, listen, it's hard not to walk in victory when you're doing that. When you're celebrating what Christ has done, it's hard not to walk in victory. When you're focused in not on what you've done, but on what Christ has done and the victory that he's secured and the eternal life that he offers for us and the abundant life here and now that he affords us, you can't not walk in victory with that. Our issue, church, is not doing better so that we walk in victory. Our issue needs to be a laser-like focus on who Jesus is and what he's done for us. When we are resting in that, it will transform the way we live our lives. It will enable us to walk in the victorious life as a believer that God intends for us to walk. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your word. Father, I have no doubt this morning that there are some who are here this morning and they've never experienced new life in Christ. As we've talked about being born again, they've never experienced that. They've never placed their faith and their trust in Jesus for salvation. And yet this morning, Father, they've heard the truth of your word, and I just ask that your Spirit would convict them today, that they would see that they need a Savior, and they would see that his name's Jesus, and they would respond by faith in what he's done for them. Father, for those of us who have taken that step, and yet we seem to find ourselves constantly on the roller coaster in the Christian life of struggle and difficulty, and then we feel like things are going well, and then feel like the waves are crashing in again. Father, would you help us get our eyes off of ourselves? And that we would focus in on the true object of our faith, and his name's Jesus. Father, would you help us to see that walking in victory as believers is not doing better, trying harder, but it's living out who you say we already are in Christ. The victory has been secured. Sin has been defeated. Death no longer has a hold on us. Help us to bask in that truth this morning and help it to transform our lives. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and sing. You respond to the Lord this morning.